Today, I mean, Pastor Mike has given you permission, and God has given you permission, and now I'm giving you permission to be radical today. Radical in your praise. Come on, let's see how radical you can be. Put your hands together for an almighty God. Come on, just lose your mind for about a few minutes. Yeah, praise him in the sanctuary. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him for his excellent greatness. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Let everything that's living and moving and breathing, because he's worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. He's a mighty, 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 mighty good God. Hallelujah! Now that's what I'm talking about. Let's get radical. Yeah. I'm about to lose my mind up in here. All right. This is wonderful. Man, it's been a great weekend. Wow. And Jesus is life. And I just want to bless somebody with the word today. I feel it in the house. I want God's word to be rhema today. I want it to hit its target. I wanted to fix a broken heart. I wanted to pick somebody up who's knocked down. I want him to fix somebody who's broken. Heal somebody who's sick. Clear somebody's mind that it's confused. Quicken somebody's spirit if it's dead. Jesus is life today. With that, I just want to give you this illustration before I get started, because I'm like, sort of like overwhelmed, and you know, God, you know, our holy daddy, it's nothing like when we call him daddy. Any father should know when your daughter looks at you and call you daddy. Come on, pastor, you sort of melt. You sort of become defenseless. And that's sort of how I feel. You know, my beautiful daughter's here, and she's really, you know, she's really my heart. And when she calls me daddy, it's not fair. She can get whatever she wants. But watch the leap I'm going to make today. That's how our heavenly daddy feels. When we call him daddy, we can get whatever we want. He loves when we call him daddy. Come on. Say it with me. Daddy. Oh, must be on this side. Come on, say it with me. Daddy. Come on, like you really mean it. Daddy. Look at what happens when you call him daddy. Asking it shall be given. Seeking ye shall find. Knocking the door shall be open. Look what happens when you call him daddy. You are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A precious treasure. A holy nation. Blessed in the city. Blessed in the field. Blessed going out. Blessed coming in. All that happens when you just call him daddy. So I want you to tuck that away when it's really tight on you and you think you can't make it and you think you can't take it. Just call him daddy and he'll make a way out of no way. He'll turn a stumbling block into a stepping stone. He'll be your bridge over troubled waters. I just thought that I would just share that little tidbit, because he loves it when you call him daddy. All right, we're radical today. And there you go, daddy, there it is. You better, a little child will lead us. You better get with me. I got some rubrics I'm going to hang my hat on today with the movie A Beautiful Mind. You need a motive, you need a mind. You need to understand the mutilators of the flesh, and you need to understand maturity. And then once we round the corner of that, then I'm going to hang my hat on three more rubrics. God, Jesus is life, he's light, and he's love. Now, what I'm going to do in that endeavor, I'm going to juxtapose the movie A Beautiful Mind with the Apostle Paul and then with us. Amen. And then once we do that, we should walk out of here feeling a lot different, Bill Matthews, than you did when you came in. Amen? Amen. Now, if you've seen the movie A Beautiful Mind, it was with John Nash. John Nash was a very cerebral, erudite, intellectual individual. But he ran into a little problem because he needed an original idea. And in his original idea, that original idea would motivate him to go on to write a dissertation and later the Nobel Prize and of the like. But he needed a motive. He was stuck until he had a motive. I believe people don't accept Christ because they don't have a motive. So ideally today, if you haven't accepted Christ, ideally you will have a motive to do so today. You'll walk out of here today understanding the plan of God, understanding the purpose of God, understanding how you should pursue God, that you should not let him go until he blesses you with his promise. But all that starts with motive. So ideally, after you leave here today, a motive will permeate down in the essence and quintessence of your ontological soul and being, which should quicken your existential reality that you will realize that you are a child of the King. All right, you with me? Are you with me? All right, get radical for one more minute. Let me know you really with me. Oh, you ain't got radicaled out, have you? All right. All right. Yeah, you got to save some because we still got a long way to go. We going to get out on time, but don't do it all. Save some. All right, let's go to the movie, John Nash. While searching, seeking, struggling for a reason to move forward. Let's peruse the parameters of our pericope or text. This missive, this epistle, this letter written by the Apostle Paul is an inspirational book. It's inspirational because Paul penned this letter while he was on death row, if you will, just a few moments from Nero's chopping block. But even on the cusp of death, Paul expresses joy. Philippians 4:4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, rejoice. He had this joy. Matter of fact, Philippians 1:21, he says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, he didn't make it clear in the book of Philippians, but he made it clear in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, where he got this hope from. He said, "This hope is based in the Spirit." And once you are lost in the Spirit, you realize you are no longer children of yourselves, but you are children of God. Matter of fact, he says, you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. He said this hope, this joy is based in the Spirit, in your faith that you cannot see. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen." Paul was basing this hope in the Spirit and in something that he could not see. He only believed with faith. Faith of a grain of a mustard seed can move a sycamore tree. That's where he got this faith. So if we go back to our foundational text in Philippians 1, look where Paul says he had his motive. He said, "I want you brothers and sisters to know that what has happened to me has helped me spread the good news." What has happened to me has helped me further the good news. What has happened to me has helped me want to elaborate the good news. the good news that Jesus is life. Jesus is eternal life. Jesus is everlasting life. And whatever I need to do in order to further that, I'm willing to do that, even if it means going to jail to further the gospel. So not only do you need a motive, you need a mind. Philippians 2 and 5 says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Get a mind like Christ. Get a mind like Christ that you can forsake the things of this world. Romans 12 and 2 says, do not conform to the things of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get a mind like Christ. Because Proverbs 23 and 7 says, so if a woman thinks that's who you are, and if you think like Christ, you will be like Christ, because Christ abides in you and you abide in him. Matter of fact, he's your fortress and your refuge. He's your present help in times of trouble. He's a doctor in the sick room. He's a lawyer in the courtroom. He's food on your table, clothes on your back, heart fixer, mind regulator, burden load sharer, bridge over troubled waters. Oh, I think that's worth getting a little bit radical about that. He woke you up this morning. He started you on your way with a reasonable portion of health and strength. Get a mind. Get a mind like Christ. So not only do you need a motive, not only do you need a mind, you need to understand the mutilators of the flesh. How many seen the movie A Beautiful Mind? Let me see if I can. Okay, good, 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 good. The mutilators of the flesh and A Beautiful Mind was the invisible people that he thought was real. Amen. And those invisible people really messed up his mind. Philippians 3:2 says, watch for those who do evil, who are like dogs, who demand to cut the body. Now, those of you who study to show yourself approved, 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly dividing the word of God, if by chance the sword that you use, Bible, is the NIV, then it says right there in Philippians 3:2, it says, those dogs will mutilate your flesh. Ah, what's mutilating your flesh right now? Oh, don't look at me like that. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are righteous. No, not one. Now let me ask again. Don't raise your hand. Just think. What is it that's hindering you from furthering the gospel of Jesus? What's hindering you from not having a motive? What's hindering you from not having a mind like Christ? What kind of temptation is in your life? Can I free you up for one moment? The flesh is never satisfied. That's what the mutilators of the flesh attacks. Oh, I hear somebody crying for a Bible verse. Romans 8 and 6 says, the mind that is governed by the flesh is death. But the mind that is governed by the spirit is life and peace. The flesh is never satisfied. Matter of fact, Romans 8, 7 says, the flesh does not subject itself to the law of God. You know why the flesh does not subject itself to the law of God? Because it's never going to see God. Oh, I wish I had a Bible reader. That which came from the ground is going to return to the ground. That's why the flesh is never satisfied. So what has to happen to understand the mutilators of the flesh? You need maturity. What kind of maturity do you need? You need the maturity that your flesh need to tell your spirit to shut up. Don't move. Quit lusting. I almost forgot what house I was in. Watch it. Maturity. Just forget the things which are behind you. Reach forth to what's in front of you. Stretch. Strain. Verse 14 says, I press towards the mark. Notice, English majors. Notice those are action verbs. Reach. Forget. Strain. Press. No. You can't stay stable. The mutilators of the flesh are chasing you. Come on. Hoping is not going to make it. You got to move forward. You got to reach, forget, and press in order to get to the life, the abundant life God is calling you to be. You need maturity. Action. There's an effort demanded. No, staying stable just won't make it. Now watch. Here's the part where John Nash, the whole movie changed for me. And I think it's going to change for somebody here today in the name of Jesus. John Nash had almost let his baby drown messing with those invisible people. Just think about what mistakes you've made messing around with the mutilators of the flesh. And we'll just call it that. Least I called out what you like. Quiet, I thought so. His baby was about to drown. And his wife was going to commit him to the institution because she knew he was messing around with the mutilators of the flesh and his baby was about to drown. But at that moment, I seen John Nash have an epiphany. He had a maturity. He had a motive. He had a mind. He wanted to get the mutilators of the flesh under control. And he begged his wife, don't send them to the same asylum. Let's see that. I need to believe that something extraordinary, Jesus, is possible. At that moment, love covers a multitude of sin. It was in the house at the earlier service, and it's in the house right now. Somebody needs something extraordinary to happen in your life right now. Your back is up against the wall and you really don't know what to do. You think you can't take it, you think you can't make it, and you think giving up is the thing to do. You think throwing in the towel is the thing to do. Ah, this came out of nowhere. Hebrews 10:35, Pastor Householder, says, cast not away your confidence. Don't give up. Grab on to the love that would never leave you nor forsake you. Grab on to that love, Luke 1:37, that says, things that are impossible with man are possible with God. Grab on to it. Grab onto Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. You're looking for something extraordinary right now and it's in this house. And I dare you not to take the easy way out, but I dare you to grab onto that love that says it covers a multitude of wrongdoing. A multitude of sin. A multitude of a mistake. Ask or seek for that forgiveness in love. It's a little sidebar just because I felt it. Because oftentimes, sometimes preaching, sometimes it breaks down to what I want to say. To what I hear, what God tells me to say. Don't worry, I see the clock. We're going to get out where we need to be. My daughter brought my note. She did, finally. Now y'all get that when you get home. Jesus is life. Let's go to the gospel. The gospel of John. Don't give up. Jesus is life. John 1:4 says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus is life. And don't you know, you can leave up out of the service today saying Jesus is life, but your family or your friends try to snatch that very life from you. Oh, I know I'm right about it, because right in the first chapter of John, it says he came into his own and his own received him not. So Jesus had to follow up and say, but as many who have received me, I will give them power and I will call them sons and daughters of God to anybody who believe in my name, because you're seeking that life. Because Jesus says, no man take my life unless I lay it down. You got to realize that Jesus came here to die. In John 5:30, he says, because I seek not my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me. Jesus came here to die. They beat him, mocked him, scorned him, but he said not a mumbling word except, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because he realized the purpose that he came here for. And that purpose he came here for was that we would have everlasting life. Jesus is life. And matter of fact, John 11:25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Though you may die, yet shall you live again, because I am. And not only is he the light of the world, he's the bread of life. He's the vine and the branch. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the author and finisher. So somebody like that, the only way we can see God is through him. So hook up your faith to God, because John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to my Father but except by me. So Jesus is life. But he's also light. Once Jesus gives you that life, and you get that life by believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. Once you do that, you are saved and sanctified and Holy Spirit filled and fire baptized and running for your life and not tired yet. You're a Christian. He gives you that light. But it's a couple of things he wants you to do once he gives you that light. The first thing he says is don't be afraid, because you have it. Psalm 27:1, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? Because when you're in darkness, you got to remember you got the light. Not but light. Oh, must be on this side, y'all. You got Jesus's light. Because you got his life. And because you got his life, you got his light. John 9:5, he says, I am the light of the world. And because he abides in you and you abide in him, you have that same light that he has. And then he tells you what he wants you to do with it in Matthew 5:16. This is the good part. This is the very interesting part. In Matthew 5:16, he says, let your light so shine before all humanity that they might see your good works to glorify your Father who is in heaven. You got to let your light shine to everybody. One of the first things we learned once we came to church with our parents was love God with all your heart. Come on, radicals. Mind. And so, and then what's that? Here's my Methodism coming out. That is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as? Question time. Can I ask a question? Who's your neighbor? Who? You mean your neighbor is just not the people who go to Hope? You mean your neighbor is everybody? People who not the same color as you? Yeah, y'all struggle with that one like the 915. Y'all had to think about, wait a minute, wait. Hey, huh? Wait. Y'all had to think about that one. The 915 crowd, they were stumped too. They were like, wait, what you talking about, Willis? And there was a lot of brothers and sisters at the 915. They were talking about J5, J5. See, you have to ask the brother and sister what that means. That's a whole nother. That was very ethical. Blank man, if you want to get it. You mean people who don't have the same education? You mean people who don't have the same economic prowess as you? You mean people who live in the city of Des Moines? You supposed to love them too? Democrat. Republicans. You mean you gotta love them too? That's everybody. Isn't that something? Because God is a God of oneness. Let's just peruse the Bible real quick. Come on, let's just do Ephesians. I love Ephesians real quick. Ephesians 4. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God above all, in all, through all. One church without spot, blemish, nor wrinkle. One spirit, one hope, one love, many members, but one body, a variety of gifts, but the same spirit. The Bible is full of a lot of oneness language. So can I help you? We got to start practicing that love that's in the Bible. Because the Lord's Prayer says what? On earth. So we got to start practicing that. We got to start practicing. So go let your light so shine to somebody who don't look like you this week. See if your light can shine to those who you may not know. The Bible says, what credit should you get, Matthew 5, if you love somebody who loves you? He said, even the heathens do that. But Jesus changed the paradigm. Jesus says, love your enemies. Pray for them who despitefully use you and ridicule you. I can hear the disciples saying, I ain't ready for that now. But you need the life of Jesus. You need the spirit of Jesus. You need the light of Jesus. And that light is produced because of love. Don't you know? Let me just talk to you, just me and you. Don't you know nothing can separate you from the love of God? Nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loves you. Romans 8:31. I'm in Romans 8. I mean, it's just going down. I shouldn't. Romans 8:31. If God is for you, then who or what can be against you? 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. You have the life. You have the light. You have the love. And once you have the love, even when things are not going your way, you got to have the attitude of Job. Job says in the 13th chapter, he says, though he slay me, yet I trust in him. Job 14:14, he says, I'm going to wait until my change comes because I know my Redeemer lives. And I know he lives because he lives inside of me. He went to Calvary's cross and they hung him high and they stretched him wide. and they nailed his hands and they pierced his side. But that's not how the story ends. 3 days later, he rose again. I don't know about you, but I call that love. That's love in my book, to look beyond my faults and to supply what I need. I call that love when I'm weak. It says he's strong. And because he's strong, it says his grace. The Lutheran is supposed to be over here. His grace is sufficient. There it is. His grace is sufficient. That's Lutheran doctrine. Martin Luther, grace. I've been to the cemetery. I mean the seminary. That's what they taught me. It's his mercy, Jesus, and his grace. And I just want to focus on his mercy and his grace right now, because this is a little different crowd. I want to double back on something that I said earlier, because it changed the whole milieu of the sermon. Because you went from radical, and I think I said something that touched your heart. It's some people in here who really want something from God. Let me see your hand. You really? Jesus, I knew. Okay. I thought so. I feel it in the house. I feel in the house. Now, Jesus is life, Jesus is light, and Jesus is love. And because we are connected to him, it says what God promises to do, he's able to perform. So now you want something from God, I'm going to give you the easy way, and then we'll get a little bit more complex. Then we'll cover it with his blood, and then we'll go have lunch or supper or whatever you call it. Watch it. You want something from God? You ready? Ask. And you shall receive. Seek. Knock. It's easy. Okay? It's easy. Just ask. But you got to ask knowing that you are a child of God. And you have to make sure you are. Now, the other thing you have to do is make sure that he abides in you. John 15 chapter. He says, if you abide in me, come on, Bible readers, and I abide in you, then what? Ask what you will. He says, but without me, can't do anything. So you got to make sure Christ is in your life. You have to say, search me, O God, Psalm 139. Here it is, search me, O God. And if you find anything unlike you, God, please remove it, God, because you have that power. Because my members are warring against each other. And every time I try to do good, evil is all around me. And the things I should do, I don't do. And the things I don't do, I should do. Oh, wretched man, oh, wretched woman that I am, who's going to save me from this body of death? Watch it. Wait for it. Here it comes. Romans 8:1, he says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who walk after the spirit and not after the flesh. Come on, your spirit got to tell your flesh, shut up. The only thing stopping you from getting the abundant life, John 10:10, I promise you life and life more abundantly. The only things hindering you from that is the mutilator of the flesh. Oh, God. The accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12. It causes him the accuser of the brethren, Mac. And he says he accuses you day and night. So the mutilator of the flesh never stops. So you need to turn to the one who never slumbers nor sleeps. The one he says in Psalm 121, he says, look up unto the hills. He says, look up unto the hills. Must be on this side. He says, look up unto the hills. You know, that at that point, you're supposed to look up and really... from which cometh your help. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is life today. I'm speaking to you. I don't want you to walk out of here not believing what you want from God you can't have. The Bible says you can. He told Joshua, everywhere you step, I'll give it to you. Then he tells Joshua, no man will be able to stand in front of you. Here's my admonishment to you. And we're turning a corner and I'm done. Jesus, this is for me. This is for you, Amari Noel, as you continue to move forward. Be strong, oh God, and be of good courage. And I will strengthen you. Believe today. Anybody want to believe with me today? Well, this is what we'll close with. Come on, David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Come on, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Come on, radical ones, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Are y'all a little late? Let us exalt his name together. Come on, is God all right? Come on, he'll make a way out of no way. Yes, he will. If you want something from God, you got to reach up and grab it today. You got to reach up and grab it today. You got to reach up and grab it today. You better act like it's a stick up in here. I said you better reach up and grab it today. Come on, hallelujah. Reach up and grab it, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Reach up and grab it today. Reach up, get up and grab it today. Let God know, here I am. Here I am.